This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 22nd, episode 1218, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Wednesday.
Hit it!
That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy.
Wednesday, I can't sleep.
Well, we got to talk about something this morning that we just can't let go. We did mention it on Monday, but I don't know how we can not talk about it today because it has been it's bigger than American Pharoah. I have seen this on more news outlets, Maine, ABC, NBC, Daily Mail, just the Drudge Report had this. And that is, of course, Da Vinci. And you're saying, well, who's Da Vinci? Da Vinci is Wendy Bulmer's pony, little baby, that has the white horse within the horse. It's the horse in the horse. And everybody's seen it because it's been shared. The Daily Mail story was shared 185,000 times on Facebook.
Yeah, and I think 184,000 of those were on my page. Everybody and their brother has shared that with me. Look at the horse and the horse. Ugh. And yeah, it's really cool. But I'm like, I don't need to see it 184,000 times.
It is really cool. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And I found some audio of the owner. Now, you're going to have to listen very closely because she has a very thick accent. She's from England. I'm trying to see what part I don't know what part of England she's from. But anyway, take a listen. This is the owner. It's about a minute long.
Hello, my name's Wendy Bulmer. I'm the riding instructor at Farling Hall School in North Yorkshire. This is my little foal. He's called Da Vinci. We bought his mother, Katie, from a horse sale because we were a pony short in our riding school. And we used her for a month or two, and when, instead of getting slimmer, she was getting fatter, we suspected that she might be in foal. So she stopped working, and one day, last Wednesday in May, she produced this little fella. And this is Da Vinci. We've called him Da Vinci because of his markings on his shoulder. He has a perfect little horse, and he has a perfect little heart on his bottom as well. He's growing into a big fine boy now, very adventurous, very cheeky, and we thought it would be a really nice experience for the children in the school to meet a foal right from day one. They play with him, they push him around and drag him around. It's made him really friendly and very sociable. So he's
there you go. That's Da Vinci. Now, Da Vinci was an oops. It's one of those we've all done where we bought horses and then they had a baby.
That had happened to me when I was growing up. So yeah, it's weird.
We've all done it. We bought the fat horse, didn't know it was pregnant, and all of a sudden, oh. Yeah, so Da Vinci is very popular right now. I don't know what's going to happen or what, you know. I wonder as he grows, will the marking change?
You know,
like
I have
a tattoo when you get fat.
I have a tattoo that sits just right at my waistband line, and it's a little dolphin. And I thought when I got pregnant, after that, it would turn into a whale. You know, like,
is it still a dolphin?
It's still a dolphin. It came right back. So, I mean, it's not as definitive as it was, but yeah, it came back. So maybe it'll be just fine.
Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Back on Track edition, Dr. Cubitt has the latest in horse nutrition research. Horse and Country TV has the horse headlines from across the pond. And Glenn and Jamie have a Wednesday-worthy crappy list. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
There we go. And now we've covered the Da Vinci story. We're good. We're official. We don't have to talk about it anymore. My Daily Winnie goes out to Rachel Rosenthal, who posted a very cute, I don't know if you watched it, but it was a very cute video on our Facebook page yesterday, and I reshared it. And it was this little girl whose family moved across the country, and the horse moved, the pony that she has shipped out a month earlier than the family. So when she got there, the pony was very happy to see her, and it was so cute. And if you haven't watched the video, go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Scroll down to Fancy and Her Little Human Playing. It was very, very cute, and has been shared a bunch of times, and is very popular as well. So thank you, Rachel, for taking that video and also for showing it to us. It was very neat.
My Daily Winnie is a birthday Winnie, Glenn. You got to get the button ready because I would love to give the Daily Winnie to my mother, who tomorrow will be 70 years old. Yeah, I said your age. What? I've gone my whole life not saying her age and not knowing her age. Now I know it. And
when they're over 70, you can say it again.
Well, she's 70 today. So yep. You're right. I should be able to, from now on, henceforth, be able to say how old my mother is. She's really upset with me at this exact moment as she's listening. So happy birthday, Mama.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday to you.
Yes. There you go. That's all I got.
That's all you got? Well, we also want to give a shout out to Carol Massey, who posted on our page, and she said, only found your show a week ago, and I can't stop listening. I have a thoroughbred who spooks at himself. Great advice. So I assume that was your advice from last week.
I don't remember what advice I gave, but I have a thoroughbred that spooks at himself,
You gave a lot
too.
Of advice last week. So
I'm exhausted from hearing myself give advice.
So, Carol, or the only thing I have to say to you is you only have, well, you probably listened about 7 episodes, so you have 1,211 to go if you want to get totally caught up.
You know, I highly recommend that nobody listens to the early ones, though. I mean, really. If you want to pick and choose, email me your selections, and I'll let you know whether or not those were good ones.
And I'm going to tell you, she thinks we always sounded this good. We apologize for the sound. About a month ago, it got better. So we apologize for the sound for the whole first 5 years.
We went from AM to FM.
Yes.
And you've joined us in the FM section. Now, I do want to say Carol Massey. I wonder if she's related. That's my maiden name.
Is it really?
It is.
Where's she from? Let me look. She's from Idaho.
I can't say I have much family in Idaho, but you never know. I mean, you never know.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. Yeah.
Aunt.
Yeah.
Aunt Carol.
Do you say Macy or Massey?
Massey.
Massey. Okay. Can you say it both ways? Did you always get that wrong in school by the teachers?
We had a rule in my house growing up when you know, you had that landline, the phone that was attached to the wall, and you would sprint to go get it. My parents told me if anybody asked for Jean Macy or June Macy, then hang up. Then say they're not home and hang up.
Because it was a salesman.
It was somebody you didn't know was trying to sell you something. And my dad always bought. So it was like, do not give him the phone if they ask for Macy.
We had Herbert. And they would always do Herbert instead of Hebert.
Yeah.
So you knew that if the R was in there, it was junk mail or you didn't want to take the call.
Does anybody ever call you Hebert?
You know, occasionally, especially now that we live in the South, we get more Heberts than when we lived in the North. Because down here in Louisiana and down in the South, it's all Hebert down here. So, yeah, we do get that occasionally down here. I'm always surprised, too. It always surprises me when somebody actually knows that.
Should we get back to our show?
Yeah, probably. Hey, Uncle Jimmy was kind enough to send us a couple of licky things. Now, you want to describe a licky thing for everybody?
It sounds worse than it is. A licky thing is this plastic container, and inside of it, you stick a cylindrical piece of treat, basically. It's a everybody's seen these things. They hang down, you know, and the horses lick them and stuff. And Uncle Jimmy's is called the licky thing. And you never know, you know, how your horse is going to react to it. I hung up one of the licky things, the peppermint flavored one, for a horse named Chili, who is one of my lesson horses and a border. And he's been on stall rest for 6 weeks, bless his heart. So he's been standing in a stall. He's bored to tears. And so I gave him a licky thing because I just got it in the mail after getting back in town. And I hung it up. I'm not kidding you. 2 straight hours this horse played with it. It was fascinating. And I hung it in a place where he couldn't pin it against the wall and bite it, you know, because I think they will do that really quick. I was a little frustrated for him. I think I might lower it a little bit today and let him have a better shot at it. But he loved it. He played with it forever. He was addicted to it. And it killed at least 2 hours of his jail time.
I got to tell you, we did the same thing. We hung them up for Beaker and Scooter, who are in during the day now, because it's the only way we can keep them from blowing up into tiny little pieces because they're so fat. So we hung it up in their stalls. They get bored. Of course, Scooter gets bored in 2 minutes. And Jennifer's going to post a video of how they liked it. And basically, Scooter did not stop playing with it. He just could not stop. There's a reason it's called a licky thing, because that's what they do for hours. His face was covered in goo by the time.
Was it really?
Yes, his whole face was covered in goo. And he got good at it. You'll see it a little bit in the video. You know how it swings around? You have yours hanging kind of over the fence. We hung ours right in the middle of the stall. So they would play with it, and they'd push it, trying to get it against the wall, and they couldn't reach. So they'd let it swing. It'd come back, and it would whack him in the back of the head.
Well, funny.
Scooter figured that out, so he would duck. So it was so funny seeing him push it, and it would fly back, and it would come back at him, and he'd duck. And he figured out how to duck and not get whacked in the head. So it was very cute.
Smart pony. No, I was not going to climb up under my barn roof. It was 110 yesterday, and I was like, not going to happen. So I just hung it from his little stall door.
Well, Reese gave it to her employees to hang up, and they did not know that there were rules. So with her favorite horse, they hung it on the wall, and she said it was gone in 5 minutes.
Yeah, because they can. I've had the horse that has pinned these things up against the wall too, and he just took a big old bite of it, and it was gone.
Yep.
So this one, I thought, you know, you're supposed. It's there to alleviate stall boredom. If he gets irritated with it, then he'll quit. And he didn't quit. So it's like the Redmond Rocks. I started to worry about his tongue and the abrasions on his tongue. Like, he's going to get himself hurt. But he didn't.
When you see the Redmond Rocks and how smooth they are, you realize how long they're licking that thing. It's just crazy.
Yeah. So same with the licky thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's the licky thing.
Jimmy's.com is where you can find them, the licky things. And so far, our horses have gotten a great amount of enjoyment out of them. So.
Well, I only have one of the holders, and so I'm going to wait and see if I can get Edward to stop stall walking.
Oh, there you go.
See if that eliminates me having to pull down the track in his stall from every day, constant walking in circles. And maybe when he stops walking, he'll put on weight. Because right now, the horse has been off the track for 2.5 years and still looks like he came off the track a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, still. But a lot of thoroughbreds are that way.
You know what you do? You hang an Uncle Jimmy's licky thing and a Redmond Rock on a rope, and you hang them alternately just above the track in his stall, so as he walks around the stall, he'll bump into them.
Lick this. You will lick this.
Whether you want it or not,
if you don't
want
to lick it, you're going to run into it.
Hey, we've had on the show a number of times. Do you remember the lady who does the Monets?
Yes.
It's Monet Mary, wasn't it? Isn't that her name?
Monet Mary, and Monet is M-O-N-E-I-G-H. And what the Monets are they are famous paintings by racehorses. So she actually goes to the stable, gives the racehorse, the famous horse, Zenyatta has one. I mean, every racehorse has one. And she gives them paint, and usually in their silks colors, the horses take the paintbrush in their teeth or get their nose painted, and they paint on a canvas, I guess, and then they auction them off for charity.
And they did one of your favorite horse.
American Pharoah just did one. Yeah, it's like really
it
good.
I like it. The colors are vibrant. I like it. Is that his horseshoe in the middle? Is that what that is?
They usually do, I think they make the horse step on it. And that looks like a racing plate, the way that it's thin and shaped around. So I think they paint the horse's hoof black and make it step in the middle of it.
And
it's really cool.
To me, like he was using his lips and not a paintbrush. Some of them, you know, will hold the paintbrush and do it. It looks like from the picture, American Pharaoh had to paint on his lips, and that's the way they were doing it.
I think so. It looks like it. And then Bob Baffert signed it and Victor Espinosa signed it. Now, is this up for auction right now?
Yes,
oh,
it is. Would you like to know how much it is currently bid at?
Oh, my gosh.
If you want it, Jamie, you are going to have to start bidding at $5,300.
Oh, my gosh. That is fantastic.
It has 36 bids, and it looks like there's two people that are just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back. And they're increasing by about $200 increments at this point.
Oh, my gosh. This is so cool. What a great thing. And I'm trying to remember what charity it goes to. Does it say it
it's
on here?
Rerun, it's Rerun Free Thoroughbred Adoption. Yep. That's who does it. And we've had Monet Mary on here. That's just the lady who started this and actually has gone around and met all these famous racehorses. You should have started this. You would have loved to do this.
I would have. And I would have had the best charity called Jamie.
Yep, just that's kidding. Right. The Jamie Trust Fund.
Jamie Trust Fund. No, they do such a great job. And she really kind of invented this. And when she has talked to us in the past, some horses actually do hold the paintbrush in their teeth.
Yep.
Because I couldn't believe it when she said that. I'm like, no, 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 no. But it looks like he is a lip painter. He's a finger painter.
That's right. She has pictures actually in this article. Maybe Jennifer can post a link to it. It's an article on horsecollaborative.com, which, by the way, is becoming one of my new favorite horsey sites. She has pictures of Zenyattas and Stormcats and Wise Dans, by the way, was pretty bad. I didn't like Wise Dans, I gotta say.
Why?
It's ugly. If you go to the article there, I have a link to it at Horse Collaborative and scroll down, you'll see the different paintings by the different horses. Wise Dans is just kind of ugly.
He needs a new canvas.
I guess Shackleford, did it by lips, and they have pictures of them all there. So it's kind of cool to see them. But $5,300, and that auction just went up. It's got 4 days to go. So we're talking 10 grand by the time this thing gets done.
I wonder what the highest one is, because I know the Zenyatta one went crazy. We should get her back on.
Yeah, we should get Monet Mary back. We haven't had her on in about a year. Talk to her again. Very cool charity. Good things they do, and a lot of fun. So congratulations there. If you would like to buy it, Jennifer will post a link. And if you'd like to buy it for Jamie for Christmas, you know, it's only 6 months away. So
yeah, sure. Yeah. Give me this. That'd be great. And I'll give you my, I have another child to give you. I'll give you my firstborn. He's in the other room.
It depends on the day of the week. She'd give it to you for a lot less than this painting some days.
Exactly. Hey, War Emblem. War Emblem was a very famous thoroughbred. Won almost $7 million, or almost $4 million. Excuse me. Won the Haskell. Almost won the Belmont. He's very, very successful horse. But the problem is that he went to Tokyo to go breed mares. I believe he's like 13 years old. Well, apparently, they spent $17 million. Shaddai Corporation spent $17 million to purchase War Emblem. But apparently, he just really didn't like the ladies. Just didn't really want to breed.
He was gay?
I don't know if he's gay, but he sired for years and years of standing at stud. He's only sired 118 foals.
Didn't make their money back that way.
No, they did not. But they finally just retired him. And guess who's flying him back across the country? Old friends. He is coming back.
Oh, really?
To Kentucky, yeah. And
That guy's going to own half of Lexington soon to put all these horses.
Well, that's his horse. Somebody needs to give him, rerun him some money. But he's going to go to Old Brown's friends in Georgetown. He's 16 years old. And so
he's going to live a while yet, too.
I think he won the Derby, if I'm recalling. So at any rate, he's going to Old Friends. He was not excited about the ladies. They said he proved less than enthusiastic at stud.
That would happen to us. You and I would form a consortium. We would go into the breeding business, and we would buy a remarkable stallion who was gay.
Yeah.
That would happen to us.
Gosh, this horse is amazing.
We'd spend all our money, and that's what would happen to us.
Yeah. Yep. Now, I'm surprised that Michael Blowen didn't tell us about this. They've been working on this for months, apparently. And I can't believe he didn't blow it on our show, because he was very chatty.
I guess he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to let it out. But, you know, I got to tell you, remember on Monday when...
Yeah, he won the Derby. Of course he won the Derby. War Emblem. Duh. Okay, sorry.
Do you remember on Monday when we had Stuart on talking about the Retired Racehorse Project?
Yes.
And the announcement he made about... Oh, God. No, his name's totally leaving me. The eventer who's coming back one last
year. Philip Dutton.
Philip Dutton coming back with his horse and doing a demonstration. Well, it got retweeted. It went out on our tweet. Jennifer posted on our Twitter. It got retweeted by everybody, including Eventing Nation. We got a scoop on Eventing
Woo-hoo!
Nation.
Woohoo! Breaking news, baby. If you want breaking news, this is where you go.
This is where you go. That's right. Speaking of which, you know how we always have the stories on here, and they're not usually happy stories about how cars hit horses, hits and runs, you're riding along the road and a car hits you and they take off? Well, it happened the other way. The horses are getting revenge now because this was in England. A driver has been angered after a horse smashed his car and the rider simply trotted off. According to an eyewitness, on Sunday, this lady had parked, this poor girl, she's like brand new driver, and hers is her first car, had parked the car like along a road because there was something going on and there were a whole bunch of cars parked along the road. Well, when she got back to her car, she found, it's a guy. His name's Ashley Rod. He was told that a note left by a witness, but he got back, his car was all smashed up. Apparently, he came back. There were dents all over the front passenger side. Paintwork was scratched away, and the wing mirror was kicked off, and the windshield was smashed. And he came back, and there was a note on it that said, the note said that my horse went crazy and damaged your car. I'm sorry. And then apparently the lady rode off and never left her name or anything. They know, as a witness saw it happen and said it was a blonde lady riding a horse. So it was a horse and run is what it was.
Wow.
Yeah, that never happens. It's always the other way. This horse must have freaked out if it broke the windshield, got dents all over the front passenger side, kicked the mirror off. It's
like, jeez.
Horse did not like that car.
It did not.
Okay, hey, so if that happened to you, would you leave a note? Like, first of all, who carries a pen and paper to leave a note when you're riding your horse? I don't know how that happened. But
what do you do? Do you check in at the location nowadays and have them like on Facebook and say, I checked in here and I wrecked this car. So if you know this person, have them let me know. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know what you do.
Who has a pen anymore?
Yeah, who has a pen? I don't know what you do. I really don't know what you do.
Bump phones together and they exchange phone numbers. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, but I would definitely tell the car owner my horse destroyed their car.
Of course. That's because you're a good person.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny because it never happens this way.
Now, I do want you to look at something real quick. Go to Our Horses, speaking of Facebook, go to Our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And I want you to see, remember when Vogue did a cover shoot with American Pharoah?
Yes.
They have posted the photo now. It didn't make it. They chose some skinny actress I don't like instead. So they didn't use this photo. But I just wanted to show it to you and get your opinion.
Well, he looks like a skinny actor in this picture.
I feel like they were like, suck it in.
It's not suck very it in your flattering. Cheeks.
It is horrible.
Oh, that's awful.
I mean, I get
the
it.
The color's artsy, weird.
And the Instagram filter that they used, I just don't I don't know. He looks terrible.
And then when you don't have the rider up, when they have this one, he has the roses hanging over him. When you don't have the rider up and the flowers are hanging over, it looks stupid.
Yeah. That's an awful picture. And his ears are back and he's like, what are you doing, people?
They needed a horse photographer.
And it looks like they waxed him.
Well, they hosed him down. And right before, I saw some pictures of the making of, and they kept hosing him down to make him look
wet.
I guess shiny.
Yeah, but
it
looks terrible. That's not how we take pictures of horses. We don't hose them down first.
My first thought when I saw this photo, and again, if you guys aren't sitting in front of your computer, it is a photo of American Pharoah, and it's a white background, and the name Vogue is in the back, and it's American Pharoah, who's a solid bay, standing there with the roses draped over him. The photo looks grainy. He looks emaciated, and his ears are back, and he just doesn't look good. And he's such a pretty horse in every other facet. And I just feel like maybe the photographer didn't know that you're supposed to throw some rocks and stuff to get your horse to put its ears up.
Well, you know
When I saw this, Jennifer, I thought, this is not him. This is one of those old photos from the 1892.
You know how they make runway models? Runway models are A, skinny. B, they always have sort of a pouty frown. And they always look a little bit sad. So that's what they did. They made American Pharoah look like a runway model.
He does. He's a little pouty, a little sad, and really hungry.
Yeah.
And what is that sword sticking up through the flowers? I don't get that either.
What are you talking about?
That white thing.
I think there's a reflection off of one of the shiny ribbons.
It's a ribbon.
Oh. Yeah. Boy, what a bad picture.
I'm saying fail.
This is what happens when you have a fashion photographer take a picture of a horse and not a horse photographer take a picture of a horse.
Exactly.
Yes. They could have got... There's a lot of horse photographers out there that could have taken this picture, and Lord knows how they photoshopped it. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm glad it didn't make it to the cover, actually, because it was embarrassing. Yeah. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, your pony is so cute. I'm watching this video of him with his licky thing.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer posted that on Horses in the Morning. Isn't he cute?
Yes. He's like a pony that is trapped in a pony body, but he should be a big horse.
And a matter of fact, in that video, because you have no point of reference, he kind of has a horse-looking face, you know?
Yeah, he does. It's like you're just kind of looking down on him.
Yeah, that is true. Hey, before we get to our first guest, we're going to have to talk a little bit about Back on Track Products, because they are our wonderful sponsor this time. And a couple of years ago, when Jamie was at the American Equestrian Trade Association with us, we got to catch up with Bo and talk about a bunch of his products. Do you want to hear about the pad today?
I would love to. I still want that pad.
All right. Well, here you go.
Well, we are here with Bo from Back on Track Products, and we're going to highlight today the saddle pad. Tell us about the saddle pad.
The saddle pad is start to get more and more popular. People, some have bought them, buying more. They really like them, and Michelle Gibson is one of them. Some is a top dressage rider, and it's good quality. And what they do, the same there, to reflect the body warmth back like a far infrared rear. It's not, they don't overheat the horse or anything. They just keep them more supple and loose. Mm-hmm. And it's a good quality and affordable. They're $79, and it's like a good quality saddle pad.
That's very affordable for a saddle pad that's going to increase the blood flow. Yeah. Under. That's amazing. I had no idea.
Are they the type of saddle pad that they can be used both in practice and show?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So absolutely. They're show quality. They look? Yeah.
Absolutely. So it looks like a normal saddle pad. You can't see the difference, but it really makes a difference. I don't ride myself, but everybody tells me. And since the increase of saddle pad have been very good, it's actually that product that increased most in our sales. So it means we get a lot of repeat customers. So that mean,
is it a square pad or is it the shape of the saddle?
It's a square pad. So, you know, we have all-purpose and dressage, and we're going to get one. Goes around
shaped
us,
ones.
A shaped one too. Yes.
Shaped ones as well. Well, that's great. And $79.95, and they are machine washable?
Yes.
You know, for what it does, that's a terrific price, because we have seen some saddle pads here that don't do anything but be a saddle pad for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is actually $79.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, so it's pretty, and it's a good quality, hold up. you know, like a regular saddle pad of good quality, yes.
Make your horses happy. Go to backontrackproducts.com and get the saddle pad. It'll definitely improve their attitude.
And, of course, you can find Back on Track Products on Facebook as well at backontrackproducts.com. Jennifer, what do we have today for our health segment?
Horse health segment today is with Dr. Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition. She comes by every month. And this time, she and I got together to talk about the most recent Equine Science Society symposium they had down in South Florida this year. And what they do is get together and talk about the most recent, most popular, most funded, most needed science projects and research projects in the horse business. So she's going to give us the headlines on those. It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products. I am so pleased to welcome back to the show Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition. Dr. Cubitt stops by here on a bi-monthly basis and chats about all topics nutrition related. What have you got for us this time, Dr. Tanya Cubitt?
Oh, Jennifer, it's great to be back, and it's great to be bringing with me all this cool new information. So just recently, I was down in Florida for the every other year Equine Science Society Symposium. And so what I've brought today to the listeners is some of the new trends in equine nutrition research and equine science research that I'd share with the group.
Cool. I'm always up for new research. And you're going to dumb it down for us people who don't understand multisyllable words.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we've got a variety of different things, from calming supplements to some old horse research. Omega-3s not all being the same. That kind of thing. So we've got a variety here.
All righty. What are we going to start with?
We're going to start with something that in my practice I get asked about all the time, and that's, does magnesium calm my horse? If I feed magnesium, will it calm my horse? Because I read on the internet that it would. So a group actually from Australia did a really neat study by looking at feeding different levels of magnesium and comparing it to what we would consider a gold standard of calming a horse by injecting it with something, a sedative like azepromazine. But let's just start out first by talking about magnesium, for example. For instance, let's say it makes up 0.05% of the total body mass. About 60% of magnesium in the body is in the skeleton, so it's in the bones, and about 30% of magnesium is in muscle. It's a mineral. It comes out of the ground. It has functions for enzyme regulation, muscle contraction. It helps regulate calcium, and that's how it works in the muscle. It's primarily absorbed in the small intestine, but some is absorbed in the large intestine. And magnesium sulfate, so there's lots of different types of forms of magnesium, but magnesium sulfate in the past has been used as an anesthetic. Now, part of how we've gotten to that, well, might magnesium calm my horse, is because we know that if horses are deficient in magnesium, they'll have nervousness, muscle tremors, and sometimes incoordination. Now, if we have excess magnesium in the diet or in the horse, the maximum tolerable level is about 0.8% of the total diet. That's quite high, but excess, it will affect the intestinal lining. Now, a lot of people had in the past fed Epsom salts, but it's very poorly absorbed and actually has a laxative effect. So,
I kind of thought so. It's labeled for that, if I remember right,
yeah,
when you read the box.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you go to some racing stables and they might be feeding Epsom salts for some unknown reason, you really don't want to, because it can really have some poor effects. And especially if you've got an exercising horse, you don't want to have a laxative effect, because then that's going to cause dehydration. Dehydrated muscles don't perform very well, don't recover very well. A lot of excess magnesium will also block the uptake of calcium and phosphorus, which are really important also for muscle development and bone development. So magnesium is often used as a calming supplement anecdotally, and the study by this group in Australia was really one of the first to tell us, okay, does it actually work compared to something that we know does work? The general amount of ACE promazine would be 0.04 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. So that's the amount of ACE that they gave a horse. And what they did is they had them in these chutes, in like a chute, and they had timers set up from the beginning of the chute to the end of the chute, and they scared the horse with the same kind of startle influence each time, and measured how long did it take them to go from one end of the chute to the other. And they fed magnesium aspartate, which is a different form of magnesium, is actually a little safer to feed, a bit more bioavailable. And they fed it at two different rates, at either 2.5 grams per day or 10 grams per day. And when they fed 10 grams per day, that amount orally giving the horse actually replicated the same response as giving your horse ACE. So they had a much slower response time once they got frightened to run from one of the chute to the other. So it was quite interesting. It was really the first time that somebody had actually shown that magnesium would definitely calm the horse. Now, my disclaimer is that anytime something has been shown to have a significant performance-enhancing effect, which this could be, obviously you can't ride your horse under the influence of ACE, as this gets down the channels and the lines of the powers that be that kind of do all the drugs and medication guidelines, then I'm sure it won't take long before this dosing of magnesium.
They're going to come up with a maximum allowable test. Yeah.
Exactly. Already, if you read in the 2015 guidelines for drugs and medication, the USEF guidelines, magnesium is already mentioned there, not necessarily just magnesium by itself, but under one prohibited practice, you're not allowed to inject or administer horses or ponies with anything prior to 12 hours prior to competing. But there were three exceptions, and one of those exceptions was therapeutic fluids, you know, if the horse is dehydrated. But those fluids could not contain supplemented electrolytes, such as magnesium. So it's already caught the eye of people. So it's interesting that it really does have a calming effect. And perhaps if you're trailering horses and they're very nervous and they may injure themselves, but you're not competing them, it would be an alternative to something like ACE. But if you're competing horses, right now there's no test for excess magnesium in the system. But I'm not going to guarantee that forever.
Huh. Interesting stuff. What else you got?
Very interesting. So there was also a general theme talking about old horses and what they called inflammaging. So as horses age, they also get a little bit more inflamed and also decrease their insulin sensitivity. It all kind of goes together, this inflammation and insulin sensitivity. So in the past, a lot of our senior feeds have been really high in sugars and starches because old horses don't want to eat anything. How do you make a horse eat something? Make it taste sweet and yummy. So you put a lot of molasses in there. Same as with a racehorse feed. So the older style of senior feeds may not have been going down the right path. Now we know we should be making our senior feeds with much lower sugars and starches. Now, they don't necessarily have to be in that less than 10% sugars and starches category, but 15% or less is more the standard that we look for. And I noticed that a couple of feed companies are now coming out with a low-carb senior feed. So that was interesting and a little bit more practical.
Yeah.
Also, when you're looking for forage sources for your older horses, you may want to be looking at forage sources that are a little lower in sugars and starches, like alfalfa is going to be lower in sugars and starches than most grass hay.
So that's kind of backing up what we knew, and now there's like, we need to take that same theory and move it on to the seniors as well.
Absolutely. And then another one that I have found very fascinating, 2 years ago at the previous equine science meetings, we have them every 2 years, we started talking about omega-3s. And I tend to notice at these meetings that we have a theme in the research. You know, topics seem to become more popular. And really at this meeting, the omega-3 issue was very, very popular, from exercise to inflammation to reproduction to young growing horses. And I really need to start out. I'll start out by just giving a little basics on omega-3s. Most equine people feed their horses flaxseed because they know they're high in omega-3s, which is correct. But as I mentioned at the very beginning, not all omega-3s are the same. Omega-3s really get broken down into ALA, EPA, and DHA. And if I try to say the names out, it's really hard. So let's just go with those acronyms. Now, ALA is what you get from flaxseed, but that has to be converted to DHA and EPA. And it's DHA and EPA that are used by the body. And that's not just horses, that's us as well. Now, the DHA, brain, eye, nerve development, EPA, anti-inflammation, cardiovascular health, that conversion in humans is supposed to be less than 1%. So the conversion from ALA to DHA and EPA is very poor. So the research really started focusing, looking at, okay, how about we feed direct sources of DHA and EPA and not even worry about feeding ALA and hoping for the best with that conversion. So let's stop feeding flax and start feeding those marine or algal sources.
Now, algal sources, you mean by what is an algal source?
Algae.
Got it.
Algae. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I don't know, your listeners may have heard that if you eat farm-caught salmon, it doesn't have as many health benefits as wild-caught salmon. And one of those health benefits is farm-caught salmon is not as high in DHA as wild-caught salmon because farm-caught salmon don't eat as much algae because they're fed what we feed them. So the DHA has a lot of huge properties that we know in humans, from brain development, vision development, cardiovascular function, learning and behavior, reduces inflammation, minimizes depression, all kinds of awesome things. The equine research so far has shown that horses supplemented with DHA and EPA can have a lower heart rate compared to horses not supplemented when they're exercising at the same speed. So from a performance standpoint, that's really good. Horses supplemented with DHA have lower cholesterol during exercise. Horses that have recurrent airway obstruction due to pulmonary inflammation, it can reduce that. A lot of the research has really been done to date in stallion semen, improving stallion semen characteristics, but also the inflammation. Now, the group that presented their work at the equine science meeting, I thought it was really interesting. It's not very often, excuse me, that we get to do really longitudinal or long-term studies in equine science because we always have to publish. And this group actually 2 years ago presented the beginning of the data, and now 2 years later have continued with the follow-up. So what they did is they supplemented mares with 2 grams a day of DHA from day 250 in their pregnancy through to day 74 in lactation. And they had already shown in previous work that DHA was getting from the mare into the foal. And what they did then is they wanted to measure foals and yearlings and then going on to two-year-olds and see if the DHA was actually improving memory recall and learning ability, because in children that had been shown. So at the last equine science meeting, they showed at 6 months whether they were able to improve the horse's ability to repeat a task that they had learned. And now this time they showed at 12 months and 2 years in those same foals, and they were actually able to show that it improved long-term memory recall and enhanced the learning ability in these young horses.
Huh.
At the very beginning, it was doing silly things like getting them to touch their nose on a target. But as they got older, they were doing tasks like putting a bridle on, being caught, and the horses that were from mares that had been supplemented improved, they scored higher in their tasks than those not supplemented. So I thought that was really cool.
Hmm. Interesting. Who'd have thought? Now, how many horses did they use in the study? Do you know?
I think there are about 10 mares. So obviously it's not a huge sample size. In people, we look at sample sizes of in the thousands and millions, but equine research, if there's 10, that's really a lot of horses.
It would be interesting to repeat the study and have the mares do the exact same thing. So that if the next foal the bear had the same
as well, would be very interesting.
Yeah, because as we know, performance from, you can have two foal siblings and their performance in the show ring can be very, very different, despite the fact that they're full siblings. So it would be very interesting, especially those later studies where the human influence is much greater when you're trying to repeat tasks like putting a bridle on. Of those that you just went over, which one do you think raised the most eyebrows in the room?
I think that the DHA supplementation, I just picked out one of kind of interest perhaps to the listeners, but the DHA supplementation was definitely the general theme of the whole meeting. If you went to the reproduction sections, it was every other talk was supplementing horses with DHA, from mares to stallions. In the exercise group, it was supplementing and looking at inflammation. So I think from my perspective as a consultant in industry to general horse owners, I'm definitely recommending, if you want to try non-drug anti-inflammatory therapies, that we start with something like DHA. If you were feeding ground flax to your horse before, then perhaps now try and find a DHA supplement. It's going to be a lot more beneficial to your horse.
There we go. I can see a whole new crop of supplements showing up in our catalogs.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thanks a lot, Dr. Cuba, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, for putting that together with Dr. Cuba. We appreciate it, and she'll be back with more from that particular talk. And we do feed flax, so now I think Jennifer's going to be out shopping again. So.
Yeah, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Hey,
these segments always cost us money.
I know. They do every single time. Every single time. And sometimes it's actually me spending the money. I can't blame her all the time because I do have this pony that's kind of needy.
I know you do.
Hey, speaking of needy, their Horse Collaborative did a... Horse Collaborative did an article called The 18 Signs You're in a Relationship with Your Horse. So I thought I would test you and Jennifer to see if you're in a relationship. Now, you have to pick a horse, and I'm going to guess it's going to be Thor if we're going to pick one.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
So we'll pick Thor because he seems to be your new boy. So we'll go down through these 18 signs you're in a relationship with your horse. Your phone is full of pictures of your horse.
Oh my God. Horses and kid.
Yeah. Is there, before the kid, there was nothing but horses, right? I mean, did you have any of your husband?
The big percentage is the husband with the horse.
That happens
a lot. I'm trying not to be disrespectful of my husband because I do take pictures of everything, but kid, horses, and husband.
In that order.
Horses.
At least you have your priorities straight, right?
Yeah. I mean. Depends on what the day it is.
So at least you have your priorities straight. Hey, by the way, too, can I give a tech recommendation here? Yesterday, for some reason, I don't know why, I hit a button. I don't know what button I hit, but it completely reset my phone to the point where it erased everything and reinstalled the whole software. So if I had not had my Verizon backup, I would have lost all my contacts, all my pictures, everything. And the Verizon backup worked perfectly. It reinstalled it all, and it was fine, except for some of the apps I had to redo, which was kind of a pain. But make sure your phone is being backed up. Just saying that.
I think my phone notifies me every day that it's been like 7 years since I backed it up.
Well, you probably ought to just reconsider that because I'm telling you, my phone reset itself for no reason whatsoever. I don't remember touching anything. So,
okay, back to the list. All right. Back to the list. Tells me every day. I don't need to hear it again.
18 signs you're in a relationship with your horse. So this is your Facebook profile, and basically what they show you is posting pictures of horses 25 times a day.
Sure.
So that's pretty normal. Much. Yep, that'd be right. You can steer every conversation, no matter how random, back to your horse.
Back to the Facebook thing. That's why Thor has his own Facebook page.
That's right. So it gave you an excuse to post those 25 things.
And if you noticed, I just steered that conversation back to my horse.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. That was very well done. Very
well
done.
See what I did there?
Your horse is the last thing you think about when you go to bed and the first thing you think about in the morning. Is that true of adults or is that more of a teenage girl thing?
What about a teenage boy? Why can't it be a teenage boy? I can't. You know, I check my horses at night and I do want to get out there and check them in the morning. That's weird. That's weird. I never realized that I kind of do that. But if they weren't boarded here, I wouldn't think about them as much.
And see, why,
Glenn, are guilty of this.
I do check them.
Yeah.
I do.
Not because you love them and want to hug them and you feel all warm and fuzzy, but because you're convinced they've committed Harry Carey at some point when you weren't.
That's the way I do it. How many times does my horse have to get out and roam around the property and eat a bunch of grain before I start thinking I should probably go check him? So for not the fuzzy reason, it's the Glenn and I think that
paranoid.
Something is going
yeah,
on.
Well, paranoid. I do own Scooter, who likes to get in trouble. So
yeah.
Exactly. If it's Scooter, I'm just convinced that he's had a battle with a mountain lion overnight. You know, I don't know if we have those here, but we probably do in Scooter's mind have mountain lions.
Poor guy.
And why not a teenage boy is because teenage boys think about the same thing. Morning, night, and during the day. And it ain't their horse. So, just saying. It's what they think about when they wake up and go to bed. Your horse, let's see here. You even look a little alike. You know how they say their horse matches the owner? I don't think it's necessarily true in your case, because then you would look like a big, round Mustang.
Yeah.
But, no, not so much. I think that's more true with your dog, don't you? Not necessarily your horse.
I don't know. I don't want to be told I look like a horse or a dog.
You share hair products. Well, that's true. I mean, we've talked about
brushes,
that before. Yeah.
Hair care.
Yeah. Shampoo. When your friends talk about how cute the boyfriends are, you secretly think, my horse is cuter.
I think that about other people's horses. They're like, oh my God, this is like the cutest horse ever. I'm like, whatever.
I have Thor.
Have you seen Edward and his forelock? And Thor is just so photogenic.
Well, I got news for you. I have the cutest pony ever, so I'm just
yeah.
saying. All right?
Keep that. Keep yep. that.
All right. In fact, you feel a little sorry for your non-horse friends. As a kid, did you feel sorry? Were you getting picked on so much that didn't even cross your mind?
Yeah, I got picked on a lot because I was the only person in my school, in elementary school, who had a horse. And I don't know why that just really irritates people, but it does. I don't know. I don't know why anybody picks on anybody. So, you know, the world is full of different
people. And you know
what?
The horse girl in our class was always known as the horse girl and always got picked on. And I know, Jennifer, you had the same problem.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, I don't know
and
why.
And really, they're just all super jealous that we have a horse.
Yeah, I mean, where does it go from the time, and this is just girls, not boys doing it, it's girls too. So where does it go from the time when you're a six-year-old girl who every one of them wants a horse to picking on the girl that actually has a horse in high school?
I don't know. Because girls are bitches.
Something bad happens between the age, 11 and 15
It's true.
Every day is an episode of Mean Girls. It just is. And it doesn't matter what it is. God forbid you come to school with a wisp of hay in your hair. You'll never hear the end of it.
That's so true. But your horse being a little off throws your world into a tailspin. If your horse is just not feeling quite right, that's all you think about. And that's
oh my God, yes.
Yeah,
it messes up everything.
You kiss your horse more than you do your boyfriend or your husband.
No. Thor's the first horse I've had that really lets you kiss him on the nose.
Really?
Most of the other ones are kind of like, they're just not kissable. They're just not smoochy faces. Thor's a smoochy face, which is one reason I really love him.
Scooter hates it.
See, some horses just, they're like, I always like to say, Jen, that my horses respect my space, and that's why they don't like to be kissed on the nose, because it's like, they're staying out of my bubble.
Yeah.
Really, they just probably didn't like me all that much, and Thor just thinks, well, you're better than jail.
I've never, frankly, kissed Beaker's nose, and I know this because if I had, I would have a broken nose myself. Not happening.
You spend more time pondering your horse's clothing purchases than you do your own.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because Jennifer's pondering is when she gets to the Goodwill, she starts to ponder, and when she leaves the Goodwill, she's done pondering her own. Yeah. It's.
I guess, you know, that's kind of an odd... it's true, very true, but it's only because we don't spend any time pondering our own clothes.
Right. That's true.
And minimal time pondering. You can do minimal time with the horses, and you still, this is still true.
It took me 6 months to buy a set of brushing boots for Beaker. 6 months!
She had to shop every pair, take three back. Yep, that's true. That's true. A couple more. You let your horse have the last bite of your lunch. Well, you do that with your dog, too. I mean, so that's a pet thing, I think, more than anything. I don't do it with my dog because I'd get in trouble with my wife, so I don't do it.
I don't really feed my animals my food.
No, but they wouldn't want it. You're a vegan. Or though, in your case, they would want it. You're the one that should be feeding your food.
I'm too hungry. I'm freaking starving. I'm not sharing.
Oh, and what horse girl hasn't done this? You call in sick to work for a routine vet visit. It's time to get their shots, and you're calling in sick to work.
Somebody's got to be there.
It's very important.
I've left this show early because I had the vet coming. I've actually just said to you, the vet's here. I have to go.
That's true. That
on
is
the
true.
Air.
That is true. You've done it. I think we've all done it for a farrier, too. I mean, whenever you can get them to finally show up, you just have to deal with it. Whatever else gets canceled.
Man, I got like three horses missing shoes. If she was here, I'd leave right now.
Do you have a problem with your vet or your farrier trying to trim your horse's feet too short? God, the last time he was out, he trimmed our horse's feet really short. They were ouchy for days.
I don't have that problem because I have a good farrier. You need to fire yours.
I'll tell you what. I tell Jennifer, you know, next time he's out, not so short because... Jennifer has a theory. Tell them your theory, and I think you're right about this.
Well, the first thing farriers learn in farrier business school, which is how to make a profitable business and pay your bills, not how to trim a horse, is that customers want their horses' feet to look good, air quotes. And when your horses are barefoot, they're constantly getting little chips and cracks and chips. It's what horse hooves do. They're designed for that. So when they trim the horse, if there are a lot of cracks and chips, they trim the horse's foot back until there are no chips visible, period, because that's what looks good. Well, we went from 4.5 months of very dry weather to 30 days of really wet weather, so there was plenty of foot there to get all chipped, so he trimmed it all, in capital letters, off. And now they're walking around on little nubbins.
Well, it's typical that a barefoot horse, I forgot they're barefoot, is going to be like the pony back here. When we take him out on the trail, there's rocks and he's ouchy the rocks after he gets trimmed, not the rest of the time, though. So that's normal. But if he's trimming excess off, like not, first of all, when they trim them, the chips should come out because they're trimming off all that excess that's getting chipped. If the crack goes up past there, I think you guys need a new farrier. That's what I think.
They're never sore when I trim them.
There you go.
That's all I'm saying.
There you go. Jennifer's just, I don't know.
They should not be sore for 4 weeks.
I agree. They should not.
No, you need a new farrier. That's what we've learned on today's show.
Yeah, there we go.
Your farrier needs to be fired. You're paying somebody for their services, and they're doing a bad job. So then they get fired.
Get rid of them.
And you need to communicate with them first and say, hey, my horses were sore for 4 weeks.
Yeah,
and that goes back up to like number 12 on this list was your day sucks when your horse is a little off.
That is true, because you can't ride. You can't do anything that you were planning on doing. And, not being able to work your horse for 2 weeks after a trim? That's not right.
Okay, I'm irritated more than when we started.
Let's play a song. Jennifer requested a song today. When I Get That Pony Road, and then we're coming back with Victoria from Horse and Country TV.
Mm-hmm. dirt, every inch of me hurts. Guessing wasn't such a perfect landing. Yeah, I'm still alive, not sure how I survived. It was a hell of a ride till it ended. I guess that's what you get when you leave. You don't always end up on your feet. Oh, there's easier ways I could go. The true consequence of a fast turn. Every up, every down, every single go round, every fall I have found makes me stronger. So I'll knock all the dust off and then I'll get back in the saddle again. Oh, there's easier ways I could go.
Templeton Thompson, When I Get That Pony Road. That was Jennifer's request, and I'm trying to, we're going to try and get, you guys can chat amongst yourselves. I'm trying to get Victoria on here.
Well, I was just reading all the things that could happen on Performance Equine Nutrition about magnesium, because I didn't hear the whole article, a whole interview, because I went and had a bowl of cereal. But so I'm reading it right now, and I think that I need to give Edward some magnesium because of the unable to relax, sensitive, spooky. You know what? You could attribute magnesium deficiency to pretty much every sort of behavior that all my horses have. I need magnesium.
Dump them in magnesium.
Yeah. Magnesium all the way around.
Yeah, you can give them the magnesium via transdermal. You can put it on their skin, and then it goes directly into their bloodstream and then their muscles, and it bypasses the digestive tract altogether. So even if your horse is not a very good eater, you can still give him their magnesium, which I thought was fascinating.
I had no idea. Now, he doesn't obviously have all these. He doesn't buck or rear or require chiropractic adjustments and grind his teeth, but he doesn't relax very well, and he's very sensitive. And
I would say Edward doesn't relax at all.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He's like a shark. Yes. If he stops, he'll drown.
Yes.
You know, he's so skinny. And a lot of it was the trip home. coming home from California, like a 10-hour drive there and a 10-hour drive home. Oh my gosh, he looks, and working every day when he was there, he's a mess. He's like racehorse skinny.
All right, very good. Well, let's get on to our next guest.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And yes, it is that time. We welcome Victoria Spicer to our show. Hey, Victoria.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. How are you guys?
We are fantastic. You sound a little different. Like, I don't know, are you in a tunnel?
I'm on a headset, so if it's not great, I can revert to how I would normally sound. Would that be better?
What do you think, Glenn?
I think it's fine. Let's see how it goes.
Okay, we'll let you have your headset. Sounds good. So what's going on? How's everything in jolly old England?
Oh, well, we've had some dramatic news this week, which involved a motorway being shut down when somebody was driving a trailer with a mare and her foal, and the trailer got blown over in the lovely British summer weather and of high winds, and the foal escaped onto the motorway and jumped the central reservation. And and the mare got trapped in the trailer, and somehow they managed to round up the foal and get the mare out, and they're both okay, which is a bit of a miracle. But it caused the microphone to be the motorway to be closed for several hours, and traffic chaos, and very frightening experience for the lady who was driving.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so the car goes over on two wheels. The trailer detached. And then as it fell, which stopped the car from turning over, the trailer spun across the motorway, hitting the central, we call it, what do you call it, the thing in the middle. And then it spun the car around. The car ended up facing the trailer. The foal jumped up and ran out. The back of the trailer was crumpled. It looked horrible. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe. So this, it didn't hit one other car when this whole thing happened.
And no, so really quite amazing
that they managed to escape it. Yeah, and then the horse jumped. Oh, we're losing.
Yeah, something happened there, Victoria. We're getting an echo on our end.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. That's better. That's better.
Okay, we'll try this again. It looks amazing. I can't believe that nobody was hurt in that.
I know, and just so frightening, everybody's worst nightmare. So we've spoken to the lady who was driving. Our reporter Charlotte Ricketts-Smith interviewed her to find out what it was like, and it's just a terrifying experience. So a very fortunate, lucky escape for everyone involved.
Absolutely. Now, moving on, there's a little bit of drama with some drug testing in Steve Gerdat.
Yes, indeed. The current Olympic individual gold medalist in show jumping, his Olympic horse and one of his other rides has been tested positive for banned substances. And one of the substances is not found in any no medication, and it suggests food contamination, which has happened here last year. There was a big case involving a horse belonging to the Queen who was fed a batch of a very well-known established horse feed over here in the UK, and it had been contaminated with poppy seeds, and the horse tested positive for morphine. So this is now that happened to Steve Gerdat, or so they suspect. Another contaminated feed batch might have done this.
I'm reading, this is they have found not only morphine in this horse, it was codeine, which is a cough medicine, and traces of oripavirine. I don't know what that is, but how does a horse get codeine in its system?
I think it's the same thing. This poppy seeds are able to carry contaminants, and it just gets into their bloodstream, and that's how it happens. Yeah, all three are found in poppy seeds. So it's quite worrying, because I think what happens with poppy seeds is they just blow in the wind, and if they end up in your crops that you're using to make equine feed, then that's how it happens. So it's quite scary.
So does he get suspended for this, or...
And there will be a hearing, and then there'll be a tribunal to see whether the suspensions can be lifted. So both Steve Gaudet and another Swiss rider who's been involved are currently suspended, and the horses are suspended as well for at least 2 months. So it's a huge big deal, and not what you want just ahead of the European Championships.
Oh my gosh, no kidding. So is he out for the championships, or will he be able to come, will the suspension be lifted by then?
I mean, he's provisionally suspended, and it hasn't said how long for. So hopefully they can do a hearing. Otherwise, you know, one of the best show jumpers in the world is going to miss the European Championships. So it's a bit worrying.
Amazing. That's crazy but that happens, you know. And I mean, at least there's a potential explanation for it other than throwing some morphine at your horses. Now talk to us a little bit about what happened at Hickstead.
Well, Hickstead is obviously home to show jumping, as you guys know, I've spoken to you about before, but they also have a dressage competition, and normally the two show grounds are run concurrently, so you'll have dressage going on during the show jumping. But this year, because of the Europeans, they brought it forward, so we've had the dressage at Hickstead competition, which is our Nations Cup, where the Brits finish second to the Danes. Yet again, it keeps happening, they keep coming over and beating us on our home leg. But the more exciting part is that Carl Hester has another new Grand Prix ride. It was his first Grand Prix test, and he scored something like 76%. So this could be his next superstar. So it's one to watch.
So is this a new horse for him, or has he brought him up through the ranks himself?
I presume he has produced them up through the levels, but it's not one that I've come across at all. And you know, we've worked quite closely with Carl while filming his documentaries. But it's a horse called Wannadoo, so really impressive score. And so it's quite exciting to ahead of the Europeans, wondering if Carl is going to sneak onto a place or whether it will be his established horse, Nip Tuck. But either way, it's good to know that there is life after Velegro and Utopia. So,
yes. How is Blueberry doing? Any news? When is he going to compete again?
Well, he was competing at Hartbury, which is quite a local agricultural college, so very exciting for everybody who got to see him there at the Festival of Dressage, and he won as usual. And I guess, you know, it's almost a certainty that he'll be on the European team. So just about 4 weeks to wait until the dressage, so not too long. And of course, we're going to see the Totalist Velegro grudge match that we've been waiting for. So,
Gosh, if there was ever going to be like the most popularly televised dressage event, that would be it. I mean, Indeed. Come on, it's like a match race, not racing at all.
A very slow match race.
Very slow, drawn out match race. Talk to us a little bit about the Hickstead Derby. It's the video of the week.
It is, and the derby is a few weeks ago now, but we've just got a video. And now Harriet is quite a young girl. She's in her early 20s, and she had a very good round last year in the derby and came very close to winning. And this year she started as one of the favourites. She was last to go. She had to jump clear to push it into a jump off, and she doesn't quite manage it. She jumps all the way around, apart from one fence catches her out. So check out the video, because you get to see her coming down the 10'6" Derby bank, and she gets that perfect. So at least she managed that. But she was very unlucky not to win.
She is tiny too. Oh my gosh, she looks 12 up there on this big giant gangly loping horse. He's really pretty. What a nice jumpers.
He's called a touch imperious, and he's a very big horse, and he likes to be left alone. So you'll see her riding him with a very loose rein, and she looks to be kind of not going very fast, but actually he just covers the ground. So it's quite cool to see.
Yeah, he's not racing around at all. He's just, it looks like he's just cantering along, but yeah, you can tell he's a big horse. That's what makes her look so darn tiny.
I think so, because she's not, she's quite tall and slender, but yeah, she's as small compared to the size of him. He's huge.
Yeah, definitely. And then your blog of the week.
Our blog of the week this week is by Emma Massengill, who we've talked about on the show before, and she has just spent a month on an uninhabited island with just four ponies that she owns and trains and two that she bought brand new for the island project. And she goes out there to try and train them with no head collars, no tack or anything. So read the blog to find out how she got on.
Oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. How did she even do that? That's incredible. I can't wait to read it. Well, you can find this and other stories at horseandcountry.tv. And Victoria, we thank you as always for joining us. And hope you have a great week.
Thank you. And you guys.
Thanks, Victoria. Right.
Thanks.
I'm seeing if this is like, you know, Monty Roberts has a TV show on Horse and Country. Maybe this girl was like watching the show and said, I need to take a bunch of ponies to an island and join up.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I have a huge amount of respect and admiration for what trainers like Monty Roberts have done for the world of horses. That's one of the last lines.
There you go.
I even had a message from Monty Roberts saying he was fascinated by the project and would love to come meet the ponies. So that's so cool. See, look at that. It totally made me think of Monty Roberts immediately.
And it looks like one of our listeners, Rachel, has signed up for the University with Monty Roberts and is getting a lot out of it already and learning a lot of things from it.
She posted a lot of stuff on my page yesterday. She was so excited, getting great cantered parts and just kind of what she's getting out of it at this point is she did her first join up yesterday, but also she's learning that a little bit better communication with the horse. Her situation is she gets what she wants, she just gets off, as opposed to continue to drill or continue to walk him or do whatever. She's like, I've learned to just get off and to let him know he did the right thing and I'm done and quit while you're ahead. And that's true with the horses to keep their, she's really doing a great job. And I'm excited that she's on the university. That's MontyRobertsUniversity.com. I was on it yesterday. I'm like, okay, I need to perfect my halts. And there's videos on how to halt. So
I noticed too that everybody seems to agree with us about the Vogue picture of American Pharoah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, nobody seems to like it very much. Fugly is a term that was used. Hey, you know what I saw the other day? And this was an article where they did a study on the number of horses in countries. And I was surprised to see this. I have a list here of the top five countries with the most horses. And, you know, who would you have guessed to be first?
Countries with the most horses. I would say U.S.
Yeah, you're right. It was 9.5 million is what they're saying is in the United States. And, you know, we only have about 40,000 listeners to this show on any given month. And so that means that we got 9 million more to go. Is the way I look at it.
Glenn, you're not taking into account the people that have multiple horses.
Right,
so we only really
million.
Have 8 million to go.
Okay, yeah, that'd be, you know, 4 million's fine. I'll take it.
Tell a friend.
That's right. China was second with 6.8 million. I'm always surprised. We have a lot of listeners in China that download the show and listen to it. And I'm always surprised. Every one of the shows, we get a lot of listeners from China. Yeah, and 6.8 million in China, they're number two. Mexico's number three with 6.3 million. And some of these countries, you got to assume there's a lot of working horses. Brazil is 5.6 million, and Argentina is 3.6 million. So we have three South American countries in there with the most number of horses. And none of the European countries, I was surprised, are in the top five.
That's because they're so small.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They probably have a high percentage rate of people to horses, but
yeah, who knows? Yeah, if we take a look at that, just taking a look at the raw horse numbers, it was a little different.
Did you see on Facebook, on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, I posted a picture of a horse that MASH just took? MASH is the Maricopa County Animal, whatever. It's a police department here in Phoenix. And if you want to see any of the horses they have that they rescue and follow stories, you can go to MASH Horses on Facebook page, on Facebook. And anyway, I was at the clinic yesterday picking up something at the vet clinic, and I always love to walk around and see what horses are in the stalls. And I saw this beautiful, older chestnut, huge, huge. So I of course went in with him. I was like, well, let's see if he's friendly. And he's so sweet. And he is huge. He's 17.2. And so I called my friend who's the deputy, and I said, what's the deal? She's like, well, I got his tattoo number, so he's a thoroughbred. And I just did some tattoo research on him last night. And this is a 17.2 chestnut gelding thoroughbred who they don't know anything about. This the deputy went up to a house. Somebody called and reported this horse. He was just standing loose in this guy's backyard. And the deputy went up to the house, knocked on the door, and the guy said, oh, yeah, he's only been here a week. I just got him because, you know, look at him. I had to take him. So he then, yeah, there's just, you never know what you can believe, but she's in the beginning stages of this, but he gave the horse to the deputy. She's like, I couldn't leave him there. So she took him in. He's at the vet clinic. He's 19 years old. And I did his research, and his daddy is Sloopy, which is a very successful son of Seattle Slough. And his other, his dam side is a grandfather is Mr. Prospector. Like, this horse is bred like crazy.
Did he ever race?
So I did the jockey club research here, and let me see here. He raced 19 times. He came in first twice, no seconds, 3/3. And if he won first place twice, the earnings were only $7,600. So he did not do incredibly well. Those were not big tracks that he won, I should say. I didn't pay for the exact results. Oh, wait. No. Here they are. Gosh, I love Equibase. It's so great. So he ran at Turf Paradise, which is...
Yeah, not great.
No, and then he went from Turf Paradise to Yavapai Downs.
What?
And then they, yeah, that's really...
They don't even simulcast their
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
No, they don't. They don't even have television up there. They don't even know what that is. And I think they just shut down, actually, last year. And then Rieto, which is where Edward ran. Oh, bless his little heart. But anyway, he's 19. He didn't run very much. And if he did, he certainly wasn't very successful. And he's just bred like crazy. Just how do people do this with horses? But anyway, this is what's great about having the thoroughbreds tattooed, is you can find out anything you want to find out. So cool. Okay.
Boy, and this one's skinny. He's scooter skinny. He's really skinny.
Oh, he's... And his
the bandage on the neck, was that from a collar of some sort?
The bandage on the neck is holding in his catheter.
Ah, okay.
And the catheter has been taken out now because they took him a couple of days ago, and they like to run him fluids pretty quick because once you start introducing feed to a horse this bad,
yeah.
But you just his pelvis and his hip bone, oh, it's so sad. And he's an older guy, but he's got a great story. But his legs are all swollen like tree trunks. He's got abrasions all over him. He looks like he was in a car wreck.
He does.
I just wish they could talk. Gosh, I wish they could talk.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's okay now.
No, you don't. It'd just be sad.
I know. I wonder if we should get the animal communicator to talk to him.
It'd be sad. It'd be so sad.
Ugh. I know. But you know what? He's probably very grateful to be where he's at now.
You know, I've had a couple of the listeners say, well, why don't you get Kim, who will be on tomorrow, by the way. Tomorrow's Kim's day. Kim will be doing a reading for one of our listeners, Leilani, I think, tomorrow. So, you know, a bunch of the listeners have said, why don't you get her to read Scooter? I don't want to know what he has to say.
Yeah, it's like Jet. I didn't want her to read Jet.
I don't want to know. I know what Scooter's going to say. I don't want to know.
And he's probably very happy now, except for that damn muzzle you put on.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's going to be something. With him, it's just going to be something. You drive me. I hate it. You put a muzzle on me. I just want to be in the field with grass.
I know.
That's what it's going to be. Maybe I'm mean. I'm cruel. I just don't want to know. I just want to know what he has to say.
I know. That's why I didn't want her to read Jet.
I thought I was the only one. I was feeling kind of guilty.
No. I don't remember because I still own Jet when she came on. She did the reading of Edward. And you asked, which horse do you want? I'm like, Edward.
Yes.
You're like, why not Jet? I'm like, I don't want to know. Let's leave it alone. Let sleeping dogs lie. He's better now. That's all that matters.
How quickly they forget they were starving cases before we got them.
You know, yeah. ain't that the truth?
How quickly they forget. Oh, well. All right, let's wrap this show up. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. Kim Baker will be here tomorrow and for the Kim Baker episode. She has lots of great guests lined up, and we'll do a reading for one of our listeners. So we're looking forward to that tomorrow. Friday's Really Bad Ads Day. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Copy and paste the entire ad in. And, of course, it's brought to you by equitymfg.com. Anybody who submits will be in the running for one of the Flexin Forks at the end of the month and then one of the Shakin Forks at the end of the year. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. That's it, Jamie. Take care.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for listening to me talk about the Mash Horse. It probably was tedious for a lot of UOT. It's sad to hear about, but he's in better hands now. So thank you guys very much. And I hope you guys have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.